You've got Genesis 24 in front of you. We're all invited to a wedding today.
Yay. Didn't know I was coming back to the party church.
Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all her camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, And when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah, saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, and he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink," and she says to me, "Drink, and I will drink for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning and said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah, and said to her, "Our sister, May you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is God's word. All right, Genesis 24. Abraham, he's old. I'm about to die. We're going to have to get someone for my son. This is 3 years after Sarah's death, but Abraham, is he really going to die? No. He's going to remarry. He's going to have several more kids. and live quite a bit longer. But, all right, so this is where he is. What do we find? We find that he calls his oldest servant, it says. You might remember back, several chapters back, Abraham is concerned. He doesn't have any children. And he says, one of my servants, and refers to him as Eliezer, Eliezer's going to inherit all of my stuff. A servant, a slave in my household is going to get it all. You've promised me a child, and I don't have any yet. Is it Eliezer? It never mentions his name. From Genesis 12, when he calls him, until now, it's been 60 years. If this is the servant who has been with him, well, Abraham's old. I'm guessing this guy's pretty old as well. Luther thinks it's Eliezer. I kind of have doubts that it really is. It's a pretty long journey, and he's sending him to do some things. But he is put in charge. He is the one who is pretty well ruling, the one who has ruled over his household. It's been 3 years since Sarah has passed away. I'm going to say he was in charge of the household and of everything. And so after that, Abraham must have given over the administration of his household to this one. All right, he gets him, and he says to him, you're going to have to swear. What do we know if there's going to be swearing going on?
It's serious business.
Serious business. Mm-hmm. All right, first of all, is marriage serious business?
Yes.
Okay. That in and of itself. But I'm going to say this goes beyond simply marriage, which is very important. He's going to swear. How does this swearing thing work?
By the Lord, since the Lord swore by himself.
Right. You always have to, as it says in the book of Hebrews, you have to swear by something greater and more holy than yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't swear by yourself, unless you're God. And we have God who did that. So, he's going to swear by something more holy than himself. court of law, put your hand on the Bible, raise your hand, holy scriptures, more holy than yourself. I don't see a Bible, but I do see something pretty unusual. Put your hand under my thigh. Crazy.
Very disturbing, but it's all about the line of the Christ.
Ooh, yes. What's the connection? The thigh, the loins. What is, you know, when the music plays and you have a pretty good beat, it's the lower part of, I'm not going to demonstrate, it's the lower part of your body that starts dancing, right? This is a reference to the place of procreation. This is a reference to, so you go, yeah, what's that about? This is the place through whom the seed, the promised seed, the fruit, the offspring is going to come. Who is that?
Christ.
Christ. This is swearing on the promised seed who is to come. This is the only thing more holy than Abraham, who is God's servant. So, yes, this is often referred to, I think I put on here, referred to as the body oath. And it's used here. It's used also one other place. It's used Jacob has Joseph do the same thing when he's getting ready to die, saying, "Don't let me get buried in Egypt. Swear to me that you'll take my bones and you'll take it back to the promised land, and there you will do it." All right. So it is about marriage. It is about getting a wife for Isaac. But how is it more than that? What's it more? Yep.
It's the line of Christ.
It's the line. This is the promised line. This is not just Abraham's son. This is the heir of the promised line. So this is someone, yeah, this is about ensuring that we have the proper line through whom the Christ is going to come. So we need to make sure, first of all, don't go to the Canaanites. Abraham has been living with them. He's been living among the Canaanites. Racist? Is that what this is? Doesn't like their...
Doesn't like their God.
Ah, right. Yes. And so, how has he dealt with the Canaanites so far?
Justly and honestly, you know, it's just they're good neighbors.
Good neighbors, fine. Business deals, taking care of things, everything's fine. But the problem is not race. The problem is not the region. The problem is the God and their idolatrous practices and worship. Even when we find that at times they go, "Oh yeah, we'll worship your God," then they use the worship practices of the others. Similar to the, we need another God, let's make a golden calf. Yeah, we'll worship the Lord with the golden calf. And so you use that kind of thing. No, you're not to take it among the Canaanites. Not at all. And so, I want you to go back to my father's family. Go to my country, to my family. They're gonna go back. Over here to the land between the rivers called Nahiram. Well, if they're not supposed to marry the Canaanites because of the gods, why do you think he sends them back here?
There's still some of them back there that worship the right God.
You bet. So, we've talked about Melchizedek, we've talked about Shem, we've talked about, you know, what's going on. These are the ones that's still in his family. Remember, he got word. Remember at the end of the last one, someone sent word and said, "Oh, let me tell you about your family." Must have informed them at the time, "Hey, listen, they're still worshipers of the true God." So they send them back to there.
All the references to the Lord in this text are the name of God, Yahweh. In this sheet, it doesn't mark them off, but on that it does. capital L-O-R-D. That's God's name, Yahweh. And when the servant is talking to the people back over there, he uses the name Yahweh, and so do they. That's an indication of faith. Whenever that name is used, that's an indication of faith.
I was struck, I'm jumping ahead, but I was struck by our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of tens of thousands.
Wait, that's way at the end. That's page four.
Lots of stuff to cover before we get there.
What do you like about that, though?
It's the church. I mean, they believe in the promise, you know?
Yes. Yes, it almost sounds as if what they're saying about Rebecca, who is going away, that they've heard the promise from Abraham about that very thing, and they're going, okay, you get the same promise. That's so they believe the promise. Exactly.
And maybe Abraham, but probably more like you're saying, the Shem and the Melchizedek and all the other people preaching in pockets.
As well.
Yeah, preaching the same word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that I'm sure when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham made sure that everybody else heard, here's the word of God concerning this. And so, you know, whether they came down and let him know, and do they go back? In the New Testament, you have that similar kind of thing where Paul says, read the letter I gave you, and then pass my letter on to them and make sure that it goes out so that everybody knows about the promise.
Well, I think it's interesting that we make that distinction, because who received this promise? When Abraham was given this promise, who was there? Sarah. Is there ever a time when Abraham was separated from Sarah until Sarah's death? Other than the time he was stupid.
That's right.
No. They're a couple. They're man and wife. And that's the way it's dealt with here. Now, when you get to the thing that Karen is talking about, what does the other woman,
Rebecca,
what place does she take? Even before the wedding, what place does she take?
She goes into Sarah's tent.
She takes Sarah's place. Who takes Abraham's place?
Isaac.
Our society separates couples. The scriptures don't do that. That's all I'm going to say. I'll let you go ahead.
He refers to him as the God of heaven and the God of the earth. Oh, that's a new title, a new reference to God. This is put upon Abraham's, it comes from Abraham's lips, referring to him. As Pastor mentioned the word Lord, I've done that several times before, I didn't put the Hebrew after that.
Mm-hmm.
He is right. In fact, every one of them, even when I didn't, that one I did capitalize so that you knew. There's another one that has Lord. That one also is the Lord, the God of heaven. It's Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim. So it's God and Lord. So he's sending him out. He takes his servant, says, go and do this. The servant says, it may not be successful. I may go there, and I may proclaim the word, and the word may not be received. Is that a concern?
Sure is.
Well, how come?
I've seen these people in decades.
Yeah.
And he's swearing to, on the God, that he'll do it.
Yes. There are many people that really don't care. I've told people before, you know, and this is what God says, and who cares? The servant says, what if I go and I tell them the Lord does this? They may not listen. It has to be a believer that would care about what God says. Beware that you don't take my son back there. Not at all. Why? Because I've got a promise that I will give you this land. And so he needs to be here. No, you don't take him back. He's not to go somewhere else. This is about the promise. So not only do I have the promise that through you it's going to happen, but even about the land. He says that there's going to be an angel. He'll send his angel before you. That God's angels go. You remember the Sadducees don't believe in angels. There we go. Absolutely. Whether it was Abraham earlier with the three that came, here about wherever God's word goes forth, God is also sending his angels to work things out. They go with believers, they go with his church, they go according to his bidding. And you shall do it. The servant does what? Makes the oath, swears concerning it, and then between his swearing and, I don't know, the next day, right away, whatever, you kind of have. Then what did he do? He took 10 of his master's camels. I'm told that that was a luxury at that time of camels, and 10 was also a pretty good indication of the wealth of Abraham in sending him off with that. He takes a bunch of his master's goods, and he arose, and he went towards Mesopotamia. He goes over to this region here. As it happens, he goes to the city of Nahor, has the camels kneel down. The women are going out to draw water. The servant begins with a prayer. With the Lord beginning as Jesus will direct it, for his aid and counsel as Jesus will direct it. So what do we have? He asks for success. Please give me success this day, that it might work out. That word is repeated several times, as well as the word blessing. Those two words are repeated more in this, in these verses than any other words. He talks about the kindness. He talks about Abraham always as his master. And, well, it's a little concerning the prayer. He's got he says to the Lord, I'm going to propose a sign that if she comes and does this and I say this and she says this, then that'll be it. I wouldn't recommend that your prayers be modeled after his. Why?
You tell the Lord what to do.
Hard discernment.
What now?
It's Tony.
Tony?
Yeah, telling the Lord what to do.
Yeah, we normally, that's exactly what I was hinting at. Normally we leave, we present the circumstance and we leave it to the Lord. We don't tell him how to do his job and when to do his job and with whom to do his job and where to do his job.
But in fairness, he was sent by Abraham, who's the father of faith, and the promise is, he knows what the promise is to Abraham, presumably. So he knows that this is going to happen. A little specific.
Yeah, I like I said,
he has better expectations than I do of this working out okay.
Some others have picked up on this. Some have just said, yeah, he's unique, and so he can do that kind of thing.
Others
have said, well, It was just his suggestion to the Lord. I don't know. That's just the way it is.
There are several women coming out to get water. Mm-hmm. So how's he going to know which one?
Yeah, he wants to know.
He wants to know in some way to show him.
Okay.
But as David was later, when they chose David, you know, bring your sons before me. And it finally was David was the one.
And it was pointed out. Yeah, and this is the line of the promise. This is pretty specific.
Well, I was going to say, we don't give specifics because of our discernment, our lack of it. And we wouldn't know a sign when we saw it, even if we gave specifics. We wouldn't be sure. We doubt it.
And
wouldn't believe
we needed
it. And he knew he needed help with his discernment. Like Dan saying.
When it gets to, he says, let her be the one you have set aside, you have appointed. In other words, he's not appointing to God which woman, you know, we come before God and say, all right, I want this surgery to take care of this, and I want this, you know, no. He says, you work out the one that you have appointed. I just need to figure it out. And so this, I think, is just a little bit different from telling the Lord what to do. It's telling the Lord, listen, you're going to have to let me know which one.
Well, I think that's the key to this thing, mm-hmm. because it's apparent that this Abraham's servant here is a man of faith. But he certainly doesn't know. He's looking at all these women coming out with their
pictures.
Buckets, whatever you want to call them, pictures, and which one do I choose, Lord? I have no idea, but you do. See, the only problem with a prayer like this is that when you get the answer, you have to take it. And if it's not the answer you want, you're in big trouble. That's the problem with asking a prayer like this. Because it may not be what you want, but he's wanting to know what the Lord wants to do.
Concerning this little test, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not a conditions that we are presenting to the Lord. It ends up being a test to see if this woman is appropriate to marry Isaac. He doesn't choose any frivolous kind of, well, make sure she has a red scarf on. What kind of stuff does he choose?
This one who's generous and kind and obedient and respectful. I mean, she's all those things in her.
Yes, exactly. This test is about, we've talked before about hospitality and welcoming of those who have come. We talk about someone who is kind and going beyond. This is not someone who, you know, does not know. Let me get you something to drink. In fact, I'll go beyond that. Let me take care of your camels. She is energetic. She is, you know. When she comes back, not only, I mean, if you're looking for a wife, you're looking for someone who is kind-hearted, you're looking for someone who is respectful, you're looking for someone who is energetic, you're looking for someone who can take care. She's going to have to take care of Abraham's household. She's going to, Pastor Rune's already kind of let you know, when we get to the end of the story, what does it say? She went into Sarah's tent. You go, oh, we've got a new woman. She's in charge. She's in Sarah's tent. You better listen to her. So that's the kind that we find. She also happens to be very beautiful. Very beautiful to behold. And so, Sarah? She was a looker too, so you kind of see this kind of following after. What happens? She comes, does the same, does exactly what he says. She says, drink, my Lord. Then she says, I'll water your camels. She empties her pitcher, goes back, gets some wine. And the man, wondering at her, remains silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. This is the success word that we saw before. He's waiting to see, is this going to be the one? And as he is quiet concerning, and as he is checking this out and watching this, he says, yes, of course, this is all according to plan.
Is she the appointed one?
She's the one, yeah. Is that the word appointed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, appointed.
Yep.
Exactly. Is she the appointed one? Is she the one that is set apart for this? When it gets to the end, he goes, yep, it's exactly. This is the one that we are looking for. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for a wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. This is simply kindness. This is just him showering out upon her gifts because he sees how kind she has been to him, and in order that he might, get her attention, woo her as well, for this particular purpose. Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is the room your father's house? Turns out she's the daughter of Bethuel. He is actually at the servant, didn't know that he is actually, you know, of course he's going to that region, but is that where they are? Yeah, this is the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son. She bore to Nahor. She tells them, yes, we have straw, we have room, of course. And the man concludes with a prayer. A side note, a golden nose ring. I don't know. I'm just a pietist, and a golden nose ring. I just go, yeah. I was just hoping this wasn't true.
How much weight is a shekel?
Yeah, that's
good. It is 0.4 ounces. Wait, 1 pound is 40 shekels. So I think they said this 1 shekel is 0.025 pounds, 4 ounces.
That's way too little.
Too much? Too little?
No, 4 ounces maybe.
4 ounces. 0.4.
That's a heavy. 0.4. That would be
It's 0.4 ounces.
0.4 ounces. There we go. 0.4 ounces. So that's how much it is.
Four ounces.
Yeah, yeah. 0.4 ounces. Maybe she had a big nose.
Okay, she perished for this. We don't know.
She's here.
So I looked this up. All right, I did some research. I thought, you know, I spent way too much time trying to figure out about this golden nose ring, and I did find one place where they talked about it being a semicircle of kind of gold that was the shape of this, and that later, it might have been kind of the semicircle shape, almost a headband of sorts, instead of, and I thought, that's what I'm looking, and then I researched some more, and it's not. In fact, this one doesn't say it, but a little bit later when he's referring, he says the whole story over again, and it says not just a nose ring, but it says a golden nose ring for her nose. So it's most likely, if you look at kind of Eastern customs, with a ring that goes down like this, you know, kind of goes.
What I'm hearing is there's a limitation on how much Pastor Ring can make fun of me when I get one of these.
Woo, yeah.
You have to get engaged first.
what do you want for your daughter? A golden nose ring.
4 ounces isn't that much gold.
So anyway,
the wedding ring is what it is.
Oh, in your nose?
Yep. Yes. Doesn't get in the way of it.
That's how you show your promise.
When you're promised, you're what? You're married.
So when you get married,
he's really doing this. This fellow's making two things. One, he's doing his bona fides. Okay, I'm serious. I've got gold, so I'm not just some random guy that wants to stay in your barn. Okay, but the other one is he's also indicated there's more to this. This is a business arrangement he's basically approaching her with.
If that's the case, you would probably know exactly what that means, too.
And this in normal, and this until so more recently, marriage was quite interesting. Luther's complaining about Roman canon law and about their definition of marriage. And their definition of marriage was... How did I said that? That it was a...
It's a sacrifice.
Oh,
is that
the husband of the groom?
It's a sacrifice. I don't know if that was it. But what Luther was complaining about was they simply said it was like the coming together of a man and woman according to the laws of nature. Okay, so pretty well. And Luther goes, all you guys understand is it's copulation. He said, that's all you get. He goes, no. He goes, marriage is that done with the approval of the parents and the agreement of the children. And Luther said, you guys just... And so, anyway, he was complaining about the whole thing. That all being said, you're right, this is the beginning of an arrangement. But the arrangement, if there's going to be a marriage, it has to be with the parents. Now, it's not against the will of the children, but it has to be with the parents, and that's what has to happen. So that's why he's going to go back. We've got the first, there are four scenes in this story. We got the first scene, which is Abraham with his servant back over here. Then we've got the scene at the well, and pretty soon we're going to then have the business agreement that's going to be at the house, and then finally we'll get back where he brings her back.
Well, yeah, because... It's right from the beginning of this story, Abraham is telling this servant what kind of a deal to make. Find a wife from my people for my son. Mm-hmm. And that's the deal. That's what the servant swears to. Mm-hmm. And so when he gets to Bethel, or wherever, Bethuel, to Rebecca, that's what he's doing. Not with her, but with her parents. And he already has told her what's going on here by this, whatever you want to call it, gold ring.
And I'm surprised that she accepts expensive jewelry from a strange man. I mean, we would.
Doesn't say she does.
Well, later it says she's.
The servant shows her the purpose that he's there.
That's true.
He can't say no or yes.
She put him on, though.
Yeah.
A few verses later, she's wearing them when Laban sees her. She's wearing them.
But she can't say no or yes until her father does.
This isn't the marriage agreement.
No.
This is simply gifts.
Right.
This is hospitality. This is coming to your house. And when I come to your house and I stay at your house, oh, by the way, I also brought a gift for you. Here's a little houseplant from home. Here's some chocolate, here's some cheese from Wisconsin. This is hospitality. This is, and so here's some. Now, I think this is fits with his wealth. You know, he didn't give her a little succulent. He gave her some pretty good gold. So it lets you know what he is like.
It also isn't today.
Well, that's right.
No, and that's the other thing, and we mentioned that with Abraham. You know, the more this is talked about with hospitality, you don't just do this to anybody that comes up, and so you still teach your children, you know, not to take gifts from strangers, mm-hmm. and yet there is, you know, the hospitality that we are to show when we understand and know that this is right and good, or they're from the church or something like that. You might very well, hey, we've got some kids coming through from a neighboring congregation. You may not know them from anybody, but if I say, can they stay at your house, you would say yes. So, I mean, that's the kind of...
This guy had lots of camels, so we know he's wealthy.
Yeah, he's not there to steal your
stuff. No, he's not going to rob
them. Well, and I meant it the other way. We can't apply today's standards today's right. Social mores and mm-hmm. that to that, either for...
Either way.
Well, when Jane and I were a lot younger, we knew a guy from India. And he was talking about marrying his wife. His wife and him were promised to each other before they were born. And they had never met until the wedding day. And somebody said, well, did you love her? And he said, well, I learned. See, love is not a verb. See, and we've got a screwed up society. Trust me.
At the end of the story, it does refer to Rebecca, who comes and it says, he married her and he loved her.
Right.
And that's the usual way that it worked out. It wasn't you loved her and then you married her. But we're not going to spend too much time on that. At the end of this story, we've got another prayer. Things have gone as he with success, and he is ready to go. And so when he gets to the end, he asks God to help him. He gets to the end, he blesses God. He thanks God. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. Do you think this guy's a believer, or do you think he's just, is Abraham just a believer? I mean,
well, he always calls God Yahweh.
He says believer.
Yeah, but he keeps talking about the Abraham's God.
Still his God, though. Because Abraham, remember, Abraham owns him.
And Abraham is famous.
Correct. This is going back to, even as we talk about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob doesn't mean he's not our God. We're putting the connection with, this is the God who has promised the line through Abraham. So absolutely, he is a believer.
Just making sure that there's no question about which God am I talking about.
Right, which God are we talking about? The one that talked to Abraham. Absolutely.
If you're ever in the military, this is the chain of command.
Exactly. Mercy, truth, the God has led me all the way. Goes back to his mother's household. Now, to her mother's household. Rebecca's brother comes out, Laban. Once he finds out, the man's still at the well, after he saw the gifts that were given to Rebecca. And he says, you know, she told me what you said. He comes out and says, come in, O blessed of the Lord, Yahweh. This is the name of the one true God. It's that cool name. To call this servant the blessed of the Lord is to respect his appointment as the one sent for the purpose of doing this. Why do you stand out here? Come to my house. Come to the place where I am. We're going to receive you as a servant, one who is going to speak on behalf. Whatever you say is as if Abraham is speaking to us. The man comes to us, unloads everything. They wash their feet. We see the hospitality all again. And they get the feast out. You're on a long journey. Come. They get the feast out. Whoa, stop. What? I'm not going to eat until I told you why I'm here. Until I do what I am sent to do. What do you think?
He's honest.
Honest?
And not going to let them suppose anything but what is the truth.
And if they rejected him, then I guess he was going to leave. Not take part of the feast?
I maybe, yeah. At least he's going to let them know, I'm here for a purpose. And this is a very serious purpose. And it's the whole reason I'm here. And so let's deal with, the feast can come.
One other thing here is they're not treating him like a servant. I mean, this guy's a slave, but he's being treated like a free man, like he himself is something special. And what he's doing is he's setting up, said, this isn't about me. This is about my master.
Does he ever praise himself?
No.
No. As he starts on. Now, what do they say? Speak on. Okay. Stop. That's going to take care of. We're going to do this first. Right? This is this is you coming and this is me coming to your house because you called me because someone is sick. And I go, all right, let's deal. I brought the word first. We'll take care of the word. Then we can talk. And so we're putting that which is most important first. He immediately, he's not coming on himself. He's coming as Abraham's servant. And then we have almost a repetition of everything that's said before. Now, at the beginning, we get to know what's going on. We get to know up to here what kind of is the servant is thinking and how he prayed and what he said and what the Lord did, and we kind of get it all done. Rebecca didn't know this. She's asked to do something. She does some water. Pretty soon she's got some gold and jewelry, and we're back at Laban's house. Now the servant's going to say, now let me let you know how the Lord was leading me and what all was going on in this endeavor. And so now they know. So, for example, even up here where it says that, you know, what kind of woman Rebecca is, he may not know all of that yet. But Moses puts it in there because it's already kind of revealed. Then we get down here, it actually happens. I don't want to go through. We've got, keep going. You get past towards the end. He does everything. There's the nose ring. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me. What about this? Laban answered, this thing comes from the Lord. We're going to obey. We're going to do what the word says. If that's what the Lord has to say, we're going to follow it. Right and good. And then we see the wedding gifts come out. And all of them being given out. The dowry, everything that goes with it. All of it comes out. The next morning, he's ready to go. And they're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. A while. They ask her, what does she say?
Let's go. Yep. Well, they too, remember, this is a journey that's probably taken them at least 2 months, one way. So I'm thinking he's probably eager to get back because, you know, he may be thinking, is Abraham still going to be there when I get
Bingo.
There?
Is Abraham still going to be alive?
Not to mention, these guys have to supply and feed themselves and all that the whole trip. That's no small undertaking.
Exactly. We get back. They send her away. Again, we mentioned about the blessing, almost sounds like the same blessing given to Abraham concerning the gates of the enemies and things of this sort. She rides there. Something's going on where he's living down in the Negev, that's the word for south, and then comes back up this way to meet. Whether he's not living at that time with Abraham or whether he was on a journey, we just don't know. But the point being is that he comes up to meet. There is this meditation. This is prayer. His praying is the first time we have it. There's some unusual things later when he dismounts or where the servant up there falls down, kind of genuflex, bends down concerning the worship practices that even we keep today. Rebecca, very humble, also veils herself and then finds out that it is the master. And as I mentioned before, she goes into Sarah's tent. And thus, as it turns out, Abraham and Isaac are both comforted 3 years after Sarah's death. So brings it all about and it happens. What's going on? Well, that's the simple explanation, and I think it's quite straightforward and true, and it's all about the line of the promise that Isaac and Rebekah might follow after Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's dead. Pretty soon we're going to have they're going to mention Abraham's death. At this point, this is the last of it. That's the last that we're going to hear Abraham talk, and it's now going to go through Isaac and Rebecca, because it said, through your seed, through Isaac, it's going to be. So that's the literal explanation of this. But as we mentioned before, more is going on. I think that I think the reference that was made, hey, the way these people talk sounds like they're believers. They're the church, huh, Karen? Absolutely. In fact, if we have Abraham, what's he doing? He's sending out his servant. I was going to take you to, we spent quite a bit of talk at the beginning, but kind of, I don't want to take a whole other class on this one. But we could easily have gone to Matthew 22, which is next week's Holy Gospel reading, in which there is a king who has a son, and he sends out his servants to invite people to the wedding feast. Here is a servant being sent out in order to call a bride for his son. The scriptures in the New Testament speak to us about how Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, called a wife who is the church and brings her back. What is the servant? Well, that's the pastor, the prophets of old, the apostles in the new. They go out and preach the word. We want them to be diligent. We want them to do, you know, according to what they have been given. We want to make them to be serious about the preaching of the word. And so they come and he says, okay, well, let's have a feast. And he says, no, I got to tell you the word first. I got to get the word out. What if people won't hear it? Well, there's times that people won't hear the word. I preach the word and they don't hear it. Yep. You know, you dust off your sandals, you go to the next city. He preaches. So, can I tell you the word? They say, speak on. We do that, almost. The Lord be with you.
Mm-hmm. And with your spirit.
Meaning, with your spirit. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, you got something to do? Oh, you're getting ready to do a pastoral office kind of stuff. Great. And with your spirit. The spirit's on you. Tell us what you got to do. Celebrate Lord's Supper, whatever it is. He says, speak on. That's telling them, go ahead and do it. He preaches out the word to them. They receive it and say, well, if that's the word, then we're going to hold to it, of course. And so this wife is brought back concerning. So we see that, yes, the church of the Old Testament, God is providing. He's the God of heaven and earth. He works out all things so that we might get now to Isaac and Rebecca. This is now the next point. Kind of out of time, but we'll move forward with that next time. I might review just a little bit so that we make sure to get all the rules out of this text. Questions? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of heaven and the God of earth. You direct all things according to your plan. Help us that in our prayers to you that we might receive the answer which comes from your word, and that trusting in it, we too might be blessed by our Savior who will bring us to that eternal fatherland. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.